Hey, great to be back in Helena. Yeah. Thanks for praying in good weather. It can snow all at once in two more days, right? Right, guys? Hi, Steve. Good to see Steve and Ray and Trevor's here somewhere, the guys I met in Dubai. It was a year ago. Can you believe? Almost a year ago, we were in Dubai, and nothing's happened since then. So we thought we'd have another conference. The world is spinning. Amen. Kingdom's moving so fast right now. I want to keep up. And this is not a Bible, by the way. My Bible's in my suitcase in Salt Lake City. So I did some fast praying on the way from Minneapolis to Helena. I had like four or five minutes to get to my flight, and I just ran. I got there, and I'm going, there's no way my suitcase is going to make it. Which all my notes and Bible and everything. So I said, okay, Lord, what are you up to? And it's funny, because Monday night, just this Monday night, I was sharing with some leaders in Germany, about 50 pastors, and I got done sharing with them, and I felt it was just good. It was just not what I expected, and I got done, and I'm thinking, man, I would love to share that actually in Helena. But it's too late, because I already sent in my PowerPoints, because JR is such an animal. It's like, get your PowerPoints in by Wednesday. So I said, well, I already got the power. I said, I'll just go with that. So now I get on the plane. No Bible, no notes. Reboot, and I really felt like there's wind on what I want to share this morning, and I think this is God's up to his tricks, as he loves to do. He says, see how you do without your suitcase, Ferris. So I'm going to talk about the preparation of faith. The preparation of faith to have spiritual advance. There is such momentum in the kingdom, just having come back from Europe, and we've been all over this year, and there is incredible advance on the body of Christ right now, because we are truly in the midst of an apostolic reformation, which causes a powerful release of things we've never seen before, things we've never experienced before. And no matter what is coming, we must have faith to possess it. I'm thinking of Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. I'll just read it. You don't have to just think of it and write down three words. I'm going to read this, and I want you to write down three words. Joshua 1, 10 and 11. Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. Those are the three words. Prepare your provisions. For within 3 days, you're going to pass over this Jordan to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving to you to possess. I believe we're in a tremendous time of preparation for an incredible harvest. We've been saying that, and yeah, it's not cliche. It's really happening. But the word of preparation is really important as we advance, because there's no way you can please God without faith. The faith you're currently operating in right now will not get us to where God wants to take us. And so I really want to encourage you. This is a time of a preparation. Prepare your provisions. And it's got to start with faith. You got to be able to step out when God's ready. You can't send God a memo and say, God, I think I'm ready. Most of my memos are going, God, please, I'm not ready. I'm usually not ready. And there's something I heard 35 years ago. Dr. Bill Hammond said, you're never ready for the next thing God has for you. So get over it. But you can prepare your faith. You know, you don't get the anointing that you're around. You get the anointing you're under. What anointing are you under right now? It's really important to know that. Joshua, you see, was under the anointing of Moses. He got it. He got the anointing that Moses had because he was under him. You can't just be around prophets. You can't just be around apostles. You can't even go to a local church and just be around pastors and get the anointing. It's who you're under that counts. Probably one of the biggest wars I see in the church worldwide, wherever I go, and some of the things that go on that no general attender of churches Sunday to Sunday really gets to see, is the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, and that is a powerful war. Like our brother was talking about, it's a powerful war against authority. It's huge, because that's all Satan has ever known. His whole ministry was birthed in rebellion. And it's the only gear he drives in. So you need to know what authority you're under. When you're under the right authority, we get what we call the winds of ministry. Isn't ministry great? You're all here because of ministry. Not here just because it's a great time to sing more songs. And my goodness, you can do a lot better on YouTube. And there's better messages, prettier faces. We're here because of the ministry God's called us to and the body he's called us to minister to. And so we love the winds. And I'm sure this week you've celebrated the winds. We do it in our churches. Isn't it great to celebrate the winds of ministry? Baptism, salvations, church growth, changes in people, restoration. All those things are great. But with every win in ministry, there's always the weight of ministry. And that's W-E-I-G-H-T, the weight. And that's kind of what I want to focus on with you, is in the preparation of faith, you're going to feel the weight of ministry. How do we deal with the weight of ministry? Because, can I tell you something? It never goes away. Right, Steve? The weight of ministry never goes away. And if you try to avoid it, you end up worshiping it. You can't avoid the weight of ministry. Otherwise, it becomes something you actually worship. It takes on more worth than God. We in ministry experience the weight of different seasons. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, to everything, there is a season. And a time to every purpose under heaven. That's a mouthful from Solomon. To everything there's a season. A season is an undetermined amount of time. It's undetermined by you. That's the hard part. It's an undetermined amount of time. Here's the good news. Of limited duration. There's always a limit to every season. There's always a beginning and always an end. But it's in that season that God's working out a phase of his destiny in your life. So he changes seasons and he says, to everything there's a season and then there's a time. There's a time, a set time, to every purpose. The word purpose from the Hebrew language literally means to bend or curve. Yeah. See, when God changes a season in your life, it brings different weight. Seasons bring weight. And the weight is there by God's design to bend you, to shape you, to mold you and equip you into what he wants you to be for him. And you can't fight that weight. You can't fight that off because it's God's purpose. It's his bending and shaping. Do you know you can't make people go to church? Some of you ought to smile on that one, Phil. Whew, I don't have to make them, no. In fact, you can't make them. You can't command people to go to church unless it's staff. You can always make your staff show up because you pay them. But why do people come to church? People come to church out of influence. Something influences them to move on a Sunday morning. We have the saying, our goal in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, is to get people to move out of their living room on Sunday morning and into our leadership. That's our strategy. That's a big strategy, but why not? Something has to influence them to get out of their comfort zone on Sunday morning and influence them into attending one of our services and then influencing them to not just attend, but become an owner, because owners are donors, and give, and then come into leadership. That's a big ask, but that's what God wants. Because people come to church out of influence. But that also suggests weight. Something has to put some weight on them. A season of change. Pressure. Family pressure. Now we're getting home. Yeah. Even in ministry, you know, the weight of ministry doesn't go away because you have a family. You have a personal life, your own personal weight that comes with the seasons of change and sickness, physical pressure, relational challenges in your family all bring weight. So I want to read a scripture about feeling the weight of ministry. I want you to feel with me this morning the weight of Paul's ministry as he described it in just three verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 through 10. Paul says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that of the affliction we experienced in Asia. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." You feel Paul's weight, the burden. He said, "We were so burdened." Verse 9, "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." That's Paul's like, "You're such an animal." You read scripture and go, "Paul, you beast." It's like, how do you think that way? And how do you make it so real? He felt like he was facing the sentence of death. He goes, "Yeah, but, you know, that's just so we wouldn't rely on ourselves." Verse 10, "He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us." That's good news. "On him we've set our hope that he will deliver us again." See, whatever weight you're having right now in your personal life, maybe, whatever weight you're feeling in ministry, in mission, whatever it feels like, Paul said something powerful. God will deliver you into your destiny. God will do it again, and he'll do it again. It says, because on him we've set our hope. That's faith. See, what do you have faith in? Your building, your city, your budget, your gifting, your ability to preach, your favorite YouTube guy. Who do you have faith in? You know, really, do you have faith in him who will deliver you again and again? Because all those things will never deliver you from the expectations of others. That is a big weight. In ministry, probably one of the greatest weights we carry is the unmet expectations of other people. They just don't go away. And you have to learn how to get delivered from that. Literally, there's times that people have such an expectation, it feels like, "Why don't you just kill me now?" That's what Moses said. "God, just kill me. The people want to kill me. Why don't you just kill me and get this over with?" I mean, sometimes there's so much expectation from other people, and it puts such a weight on what you're called to do that only God can deliver you from that. You have to just get rid of that weight. Now watch, he says something else, Paul, further on in verse 24, 2 Corinthians 1. Watch how Paul handles working with other people and how he exhorts from an apostolic framework. He says, "Now listen, not that we lorded over your faith." See, Paul's trying to say, it's not just my faith and my call and my leadership that's at stake here. It's your faith. "And not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy." We're working with you for your joy. Every one of us here this week, we're just working with you. You're working with us for joy. The joy is there's only one more session. And Steve's going to ring the bell. So it's like, "Yeah, it's going to be over soon." No, it's like, "Yeah, there's great joy in what we're doing. There's great joy in carrying the weight and the burdens together. We're not lording it over anybody. Nobody's got an apostolic faith that's better than your peon faith. Because, you know, there are no superior dimensions of Christ. There just aren't. And there's no inferior dimensions of Christ. It's all Christ. I love what the brother says. It's like, this is all about our identity in him. And if we're in him, nothing's inferior and nothing superior. We work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. That's where God wants us to get into position, really, by the end of the day, that you leave, that's my prayer, that you leave here standing firm in your faith. So, I want to give you four areas this morning that deal with the weight of ministry and where you have to have faith, where faith is absolutely critical. Absolutely critical to have faith in these areas of ministry because they all produce weight. You've got to have faith for the weight. And the first one is perspective. Four areas where faith is critical. Number one is your perspective. It's so critical to have faith when you look at circumstances that are surrounding you. Because you see, you always get full of whatever you focus on. Whatever you focus on, it'll fill you up. I see all the wheels spinning. It's like, yeah. Come on, if you were focused on the World Series last night, that's what you got up this morning. It's like, what was the score, Jay? It's like, oh my gosh, I went to... It's what you focus on. Hey, it's football season. What are we focusing on? You just get full of it, and it spills out in your conversations, and it spills out in things. And God said, this is all about perspective. What are you focusing on? How about finances? No, I don't think about that. Yes, you do. And here's the thing. Leaders always carry financial weight. Always. You just don't take days off from carrying the weight of financial responsibility. And here's the thing. It's either going to be because you don't have enough, or sometimes it's surplus. Got real quiet on surplus. Go, surplus? What's that? Believe me. Hey, if God dropped $1 million on you today, you'd have weight. And it would add anxiety. And it'd add a whole lot of people on your friend list. Quickly, social media people would be popping up that you've never heard of, and people show up at your door. Hey, just heard the good news. Yeah. The weight, when God begins to prosper, there's weight of responsibility, so it never goes away. It's just, what's your perspective when God weighs you down? The weight of apostolic function is immense upon the body of Christ right now. And there's all kinds of people reacting funny to apostolic function. They're reacting funny to the weight that it brings on mission and on the power of releasing, because it demands that we release people into the harvest. That's really hard on a pastor. Oh, that's so hard. Pastors just want to keep everybody forever. But you can't, because you don't own them. They're not yours. All right, here's a quick segue. I was going to teach the parable of Matthew 21, verse 33 through 43. Really quick, it's the parable of the vineyard. Parable of the absent vineyard owner. And the whole message behind that was actually a parable of corporate productivity, how we must work together. Man, that was a good teaching. I can't believe the Lord's not letting me going to have touch it. But anyway, it's like the crux of that is, listen, we don't own anything. God is the one who planted the vineyard. God put the wall around it. God put everything in it. God put a watchtower in it. He owns the whole operation. We're just the tenants. Work in the vineyard. Work in the vineyard. When he comes and says, I'll take that fruit, who are we? Who are we to say, that's my fruit, right? I got those boys in some trouble. Yeah. Anything we do in singularity is a failure. My ministry, my church. Gotta delete the word my. This is ours. It's our work, and he's the owner. Now that takes actually some weight off of you. That should take some false weight off of you. That the accuser... good word, brother, that the accuser would like to accuse you, you're not doing enough. You're not doing this, and you're not doing that. And your church, and your people, and you're this, and they're, suddenly it's all yours. When it's all yours, that's false weight. It'll crush you. So, perspective. Apostolic function releases the power to send people into their vineyards. That might be planting a new vineyard, it might be just reaping out of another one. Whatever God wants to do, power to release. And culture, every vineyard has a culture. Every church has its own culture. Even in this town, every single individual church in Helena has its own culture. Culture is the set of shared attitudes that everybody experiences when they walk in the door. It's the set of shared values and shared goals. The practices of that group of people that you see when you join that group. First time you come into Mount Helena, you walk through the doors, they haven't heard any worship yet, haven't heard JR's great preaching, haven't put their kids in Sunday school yet, haven't done anything, haven't even had their first cup of coffee, yet they're already sensing, what's the culture of this house? I feel the culture. By the way people interact, by the way they notice a brand new first-time visitor, all that is powerful. Peter Drucker said, you know, when it comes to culture, culture eats vision for breakfast. Culture's way more powerful than your vision. You might think you have a good vision, but you know what? Your culture will drive the mission. And you have to develop culture. It's a weight because it brings a lot of weight. Culture produces weight. It comes out of your core, which is your belief. This is what we believe. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in this. That's your core, like an apple. It's the apple core. Nobody sees that. Nobody walks in and says, well, I know exactly what they believe. They don't know what you believe. Well, speaking in tongues or speaking to Mary, they don't know. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. That's where I grew up. You know, they don't know. They're not wrestling through your beliefs when they walk in for the first time. Neither are they wrestling through your values. Your values are just the beliefs that you're actually walking out and working out in your activity. That's like the, what do they call the inside of an apple? I guess it's the, is it meat? Can apples have meat? Pulp. What's it called? Flesh. Makes more sense now when Jesus said, you'll eat my flesh and drink my blood. Okay. Flesh sounds good. Yeah, the flesh, the pulp, the meat, the white stuff is the values. That's what people taste when they bite in, what you really value. You know, we love baptisms at our church. Next Sunday is Baptism Sunday. We love it so much that we build our whole Sunday morning experience around baptism. It's not an after the service. You know, after the service, we're baptizing a few people if you want to come. No, baby. It's advertised. It's put out there. There's flash notices for weeks. And then our tank goes right on the first row. Do you guys have one of the cool tanks where the pastor no longer has to get wet? Do you have one of those yet, JR? You got to get one of those. Got to get one. That's good enough. Anyway, my first, in Wyoming, first time, a sheep dip. Yeah, put them in a sheep dip. But it's so cool, so the pastor can stand outside and not get wet. But, I mean, we make a big deal. Everything is about baptism. Our worship, we make, it's highlighted, put on the screens. Everybody wears different, you know, their T-shirts and everything. Why? Because what it does, it speaks, this is one of our values. We value what? Discipleship. We value making disciples. It's our belief. But, see, we walk it out by what we do. But there's another part to the apple, that's the skin. And I know some of you probably take the skin off before you eat it, that's fine. But nevertheless, the skin's still there. The skin is what you first see. The culture of your church is what people first see when they drive in the parking lot or when they look at your website. It's basically whatever you see, whatever you feel. When you go shopping for apples, you pick it up and you look at it, you might smell it, and you feel it, and you look for bruises, and, you know, that's the outside. That's what people are looking at. How you behave. How you talk to strangers. All these things shape the culture of a church, and that culture brings weight. It brings weight on the old guard. Hello? I know some of you old guard here in Helena. You've been around longer than me in dirt. Yeah, it puts weight on the old culture. It puts weight on the pressing of God to bring a new culture forward. Yeah. And perspective is the one thing that's going to make it all clear. You need to see prophetically. Paul prayed for Christians in Ephesus. He prayed for Christians. Ephesians 1, verse 18. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart... How many of you got two sets of eyes? Right? You got one set in your head, you got another set in your heart. Paul prayed that the eyes of the Christians' hearts would be enlightened. Beautiful Greek word, photizo. It means to take in light. It literally is where we get the English word photograph. That the eyes of your heart would become like lenses on a camera that would, and it says that you might know the hope of your calling, but in the Greek, it's actually, it always the Greek word, it means that you might actually see the hope of what you're called to. That's the future. That's the culture that God wants to shape, a culture of the future, and you can know it. You can see it but you got to pray for it. That the eyes of our heart would have the perspective that God has through triumph, through tragedy, through difficulty, through the seasons of life. God, give me your eyes. Give me your perspective. You know what? Joshua had to pray that. He had to have not Moses' eyes. He had to have the eyes of God to go in and possess. And preparation was the key. Prepare. Joshua, prepare. So prepare your faith in perspective. Secondly, prepare your faith in your personal life, especially as leaders. Season brings new weight, new demands of personal weight. They come two ways. They come by revelation. That means new time in the Word of God. Tending your soul and putting new things in your soul, new time in the Word of God, that brings revelation. Guess what? There's another way. Through tribulation. Yeah, in your personal life, guess what? Weight comes through revelation, but weight also comes through tribulation. Pain. What Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians. And you learn something. You learn afresh the power of the Holy Spirit in prayer. Yeah. Our family's gone through some pain, some tribulation the last few years. We've had physical afflictions. My wife and one of my sons. And then I got a son going through extreme difficulty right now. Extreme tribulation. Like we have never known. I spent 3 weeks this summer just down there in his presence, just to be there, not knowing what to do. I literally didn't know what to do. And guess what? My prayer life got really good. I prayed in tongues a lot. Are you praying in tongues? It's like, that's all you ever say when you come here, Clem. Yeah, because it's vital. It's vital to know that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for you right now before the throne of God perfectly because he knows the will of God. And like I always say, if he's doing that, why don't you join him? Quit getting him to try to join your prayer meeting. Go to his prayer meeting. It's perfect. Yeah. Stop inviting the Holy Spirit. He's already here. Anyway, another one of my pet peeves. I got the Germans on that one. They caught it. Okay, so anyway. Yeah, the revelation of the Holy Spirit in prayer is priceless. I wouldn't have made it through the summer. Honestly, I wouldn't have made it through the summer. Because once again, you worship the weight by trying to avoid it. So you partner with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and you get in there. And you get in there in the Spirit. The other thing about your own soul, your personal life, faith for your own personal life, here's a good one. Ready? Laugh at yourself more.
Really?
Lighten up. Lighten up. Laugh. For crying out loud, you're just a human. And a funny one at that. We're just human. And every now and then, you need people in your life, like Brian Acey and other people, that, and Jair with this absolutely terrible, dry sense of humor that, you know, you read one little line on his email and you go, did he really mean that? And you go, yeah, that's Jair. And then I laugh. You need people like that to laugh, lighten up. You know, the Bible says, he who sits in the heavens, what? Laughs. God looks at this whole earthly mess and goes, ha ha, someday, you'll see. Third one, real quick. You've got to have faith. Faith is critical in your process. Not only in your perspective, not only in your personal life, but you must have faith for your process. God's not into perfection, but he's all about progress. God's all about progress. It goes back to Ecclesiastes. To everything, there's a season, right? And there is a time for every purpose. And every one of those seasons bring weight, and it's to move you. It's to move you. See, the apostolic grace of Jesus Christ is a moving grace. The very word apostello from the Greek literally means to send in the verb form. It means to send, to release. Points to a command, to release. So this releasing mechanism is a moving mechanism, and God's all about the progress you're making, not perfection. But if you don't engage in the process, you'll never reach the destination. You've got to engage. You can't sit and listen to a sermon on Sunday only. Sit and listen, but then engage. Get into the process with God. Just recently, because of some of this incredible season my wife and I are in and our family, we also had some amazing financial opportunities. There's no word for crisis in some Asian languages. That's why they seem to bounce back sometimes. Like Japan bounced back from World War because they don't have a word for crisis. Their word in Japanese is opportunity. I thought, you know what? I'm going to get rid of crisis in my life. It's just an opportunity. But I'll tell you what. I got one point I was praying, and God said these amazing words, deep theology, stunning to my soul, when he just said this, "What have I not provided for today?" Oops. Throw those complaints out the window. It's not the crisis that I created, perspective, and God had to minister me. What did I not provide for today, Clem? I was like, thank you, Lord. Perspective. He says, you're still in the process. Here's the other thing. You cannot borrow weight from tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day, right, is the weight. You got enough weight for today. So you can't borrow weight from tomorrow and pile it on. It's not going to do you any good. It'll crush your faith. And here we're trying to be strong in faith. The last thing is basically the people. You have got to have faith for the people. You got to have faith to have the right perspective. You got to have faith in your personal life. You've got to have faith for the process that God has you in. But you, as leaders particularly, have to have faith for the people God's put in your life. Some people see people just as a resource. But people are a divine relationship that God gives us. Now, if you develop the relationship, guess what? You'll get the resources. Everybody has resource. Everybody that comes into your church, everybody comes into your life is a potential resource, but don't look at them as a resource. Have faith for what God wants to do in developing them as a person. You've got to have faith for them sometimes. That brings weight. See, that brings weight. When you see a young man walk in and go, I like that guy. I like it. He's young. He's got vision. He's all that. But he's got some things messed up in his life. And you look at him going, I'm going to start carrying weight for him. He's a future elder, a future leader. He could plant a church someday. I'm going to start carrying weight for him. Why? Because you want to release the resources that God put in him. You got to have faith for him. So you get faith from other people in your life, too. So here's good advice. Hang around people that have more faith than you. I found that to be very healthy this summer, particularly. I was making phone calls to several guys that I knew had been through some of the stuff I'd been through, and I called them. I said, how did you do it? How did you survive? What should I be doing? And their faith lifted me up. I got faith from their faith. You can't carry the glory of God improperly. It's the construct that he has in your current life. You can't. The word glory is doxa, and it also means a heavy weight. There's weight on the glory of God, and we want to see a glorious church and blah, 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 but you know what? There's weight that comes with it, and you can't carry it improperly because it's in the people. It's not in one person. It's not in one gift. The weight is in the glory of Jesus Christ, which is, as we say in North Carolina, is y'all. Or all y'all. All of us. We're the body. Here's the last thing. Romans 1, you know this, 11 and 12, but when it comes to the people, when it comes to carrying weight in ministry and having faith, have faith for impartation to the people. Have faith that you are divinely called to give people what God has given you. That's a good definition of impartation. Paul said this, I long to see you, Romans 1:11, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, watch, to strengthen you. That's why we're here. That's why these guys flew halfway across the world to be here, and some other idiots like me too. Yeah, we want to be here to impart something to you that God's given us. Because true impartation is giving that which God has given you without being depleted. True impartation will never deplete you because it's not yours anyway. It's what God gave you. We want to impart some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, watch, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I've come to get some encouragement from you. Yeah, I want encouragement from you and hang around the brothers and hang around my sisters. I want to receive encouragement from you. And I pray you get encouragement from me and the other speakers and your other friends. Impartation to the people. Not withholding. Giving what God has given you. That, friends, will prepare us to possess what God is putting right before us. It's right there. There's great harvest. There's great things coming. There's people getting ready to come and rush into the kingdom of God. And God says, prepare to possess. Prepare to possess. I want to pray for you. I want you to stop for a minute, and I want you to feel weight. I want you to feel it. I want you to know at this moment where the weight of God is on your soul. What is it you're feeling this morning? What is it that's unhealthy? What is it that this is crushing me? Maybe you're feeling crushed, pressured. It could be a physical situation, a sickness, a loved one, a troubled marriage, a troubled relationship in your family or the body of Christ, or something is weighing on you and the Holy Spirit's here. And he wants to impart through the word of God today spiritual charisma to strengthen you. And in some way, let the Holy Spirit do inventory. Just kind of lift your hands. You only have to go shoulder high if you want. This is just between you and God. You don't have to go all out yet. Just get a little shift up. Say, God, I give you my weight. Remember, it never goes away. He won't take it all. But there might be some false weight that you're under. And I think our brother's word early was really important, that there might be the false weight of expectation and accusation that's laying on some of you. And you let the Holy Spirit tell you, shake it off. You can't bow to that. And there might be perspective that's unclear at this moment. I pray in Jesus' name, he'd open the eyes of your heart right now. You can see clearly the hope of your calling. And what is the great inheritance coming to you and the saints? Oh, Father, open the eyes of our heart. Let us have perspective. Let us have faith to see what you see. Let us have faith to shepherd our own souls, to join you in the progress. Oh, God, give us faith for the people that you died for. May we win for you, Father, the reward of your suffering. To the glory of God. Can you say amen, church? God bless you.